Welcome to the show.
Hey.
Hey.
Look at us. We are back.
Mm-hmm.
With very little direction. What?
Michelle, we're back.
No direction. No direction. What do you mean little direction?
I don't know if we're back.
You said we have no direction? We got one direction.
Oh.
At least one direction.
We set ourselves for that one, didn't we?
Let's kick off the show. All right, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Freddie Rivera. This is Radio Flyer. I'm joined with producer Ruben. Welcome to the show.
Hey.
And, of course, Michelle Zuno, who is COVID-free.
Yes.
Hey. Come on now. So it's so funny because I get a lot of, I get the questions of, how did I meet producer Ruben? And it's so funny because I'm always posting pictures of me and producer Ruben working together in the studio during the pandemic. And, you know, even everybody says, oh, my God, Ruben is the nicest guy ever. And he seems like the coolest dude. I would love to have a right-hand man like Ruben Rodriguez. And so let me give you a little background, I guess, on how we met, because people want to know. And I guess I haven't really explained it in detail. So I guess that's what today's show is going to be about, how I met producer Ruben. And I guess we can go all the way back to, well, do I want to date myself?
That's yes, you do.
Do I want to date myself?
No, yes. just go back to the place we met.
See, we're on the same wavelength.
Krispy Kreme.
So this was back in 1945.
Right before Musso and Frank opened.
Yeah, exactly.
Freddie.
Okay. So I was a huge fan of this radio host named Rick Dees. The guy was a legend. He was on Kiss FM here in LA, syndicated everywhere. He did the weekly top 40. To this very day, I think he is probably one of the greatest radio personalities of all time. His morning show was outstanding. And when I was in high school, I was into mix shows because I was a DJ and I would, you know, mix on the ones and twos at, you know, Rancho Cucamonga High School.
Right.
And I would go with Lewis Love to the parties and mix for our high school friends for free because no one would pay. And but eventually, I don't know how, somebody turned me on to Rick Dees on Kiss FM. And I wasn't a morning person, but his show was so good that it was an excuse for me to wake up just a little bit earlier so I can listen to Rick Dees' morning show. And every time I heard it, every single day, I became addicted to it. And it was really good. I mean, all of the bits, you know.
The characters.
To the characters, to the prank calls. Everybody. And I got to, oh, who's PD? Oh, PJ the DJ. That's Rick Dees' producer. Oh, then I hear Ruben on the phone. Then I hear Alicia Del Valle on the phone.
And Chris Finch.
And I hear Chris Finch and Martine Wagmeister. And who are all these people? But it sounds like they're having so much fun. And I'm like, how do they get paid to do this?
And I'm
like, and I was a DJ at the time. And I said, I want to do that. How do I elevate? Because at this point, everyone's becoming a DJ, right? How do I become better? How do I elevate my status from just a mixed DJ or mobile DJ to something bigger and better? And I listen to Rick Dees and I'm like, oh my God, I want to do that. I mean, it was the most incredible, well thought out show I've ever heard in my life. So I became a huge fan. This was my senior year in Rancho Cucamonga High School. I had a blue Chevy Silverado at the time. A couple weeks before I graduate, I wake up extra early in the morning. I call my cousin in Monrovia and I'm like, hey.
And you came in to pick up?
I said, hey, if I pick you up, I'll get you free donuts. Just come with me. I want to go to this radio remote. Rick Dees is broadcasting live from Krispy Kreme Donuts. And he's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, let's go. So I talked him out of getting out of bed at 6 o'clock in the morning,
who's
mind
this
you.
Again?
My cousin. I got in my car, my Chevy Silverado. I took the 210 freeway westbound, picked him up in Monrovia, continued on the 210 to the 134, took the 5 north, where Krispy Kreme Donuts is at in Burbank, exited. I saw a huge semi-truck, Michelle. Uh-huh. Rick Dees, when he would do a live remote broadcast, would do it out of a semi that would fold out from the side and it would be like a studio. The most incredible thing I've ever seen.
That's cool.
So I show up and I'm like, oh, I can hear the music. There's Rick Dees. He's in the truck. Oh, my goodness. So I walk up there like a huge fan, waving my hands.
Creepy.
And we hung out for about an hour or two. We got some free donuts from Krispy Kreme Donuts. We took some pictures. And then I go up to who was Ruben at the time. And I said, hey, excuse me, can I get a picture with Rick Dees? It came all the way from Rancho, and he's like, and Ruben's like, sure, come on in.
Oh, what a nice
And Ruben
guy.
Brought me in the truck to take a picture with Rick Dees.
The 12-wheeler?
Yes, it was the coolest thing ever. And took a photo with Rick. Rick couldn't have been any nicer. He walked me out. The event was over, and I'm like, oh my. And keep in mind, the camera I had was a disposable. Remember the little wind up disposable
yes.
ones? And the event was over. For some reason, I was still hanging out.
And the last one there.
And the
means
last one there.
Stalking.
Yeah.
And I go back up to Ruben, and I'm like, excuse me. Do you need help with any of the wires? I'm a DJ, so I can help you with the wires, you know, fold them up. Or what did you say?
I forgot. Tell me.
You said, no, it's cool. Don't worry about it. I'm like, well, can I get a picture with you?
Aww.
And you're like, sure. So I took a picture with you. And then that's when I asked, I said, hey, well, look, I would love to intern. How do I get a job with you guys? And you're like, well, you got to intern, da-da-da-da-da. Here's Cecilia's number. Call her, you know, next week and, you know, see if you can get an internship. And I said, I'll do that. That's awesome. I said, what about a tour? Can I get a tour? And Ruben said, yes.
Wow.
I'll give you a tour of Kiss FM. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's so awesome. Anyway, I follow up with Cecilia. And we had a phone call, but I don't think I was properly enrolled in college yet because I was still a high school student, so I couldn't intern legally, right? But
a couple, don't worry, I'm 18.
A couple weeks later when I graduated high school, I came back, and that's when producer Ruben gave me a tour of Kiss FM right there with my cousin, I think, at the time. And we're hanging out in the lobby at Kiss FM in Burbank. Paulina Rubio shows up in this gold dress, and I'm like, oh my gosh.
You were in the lobby with
her? Like,
yes.
You know who you are?
And you knew who she was?
Yes.
So what did you do?
Nothing. I just wanted to play cool.
You didn't ask for an autograph?
No, nothing.
He's like with his little roll-up. Yeah. He's taking pictures with the wind-up camera.
And they walk Paulina Rubio in. I think Paul Joseph opened the door for her. I'm like, man, this is the buzz, the energy. There's this high
the
energy.
The excitement.
In this eighth floor of the Warner Brothers building.
She got there early. You were waiting there that long.
He spent the night hid in a cabinet.
He probably spent the night under the seat or something.
Not even 15 minutes later, you come out and you give me a tour of the station. And so we start at the lobby. We go through the sales department. Then we go to the marketing department. Then the web department.
Promotions
department. And then the very back of this long hallway, which was, I think, a red carpet at the time.
At the end of the building?
The very end of the building. It was all the studios. And I think you would walk up, and it was like on this platform, and there's just studio after studio after studio. He goes, hey, come on inside. And Ruben sits me inside right in front of Rick Dees. They put headphones on me.
What?
And Rick goes, oh, we got Freddie Rivera from Ranch Cucamonga here, and da-da-da-da-da, and you woke up early in the morning and drove all that way. You're sitting here now, and Freddie's disappointed, you know, in the Rick Dees fashion.
But do you remember what you said?
He was crying.
He was not expecting to go on the air.
I was so nervous. I just said, no, I'm happy to be here.
Were any of
your
friends
listening?
In his
little squeaky voice.
Yeah, in my squeaky voice.
No, I'm happy.
Yeah. And by the way, I have an air check of that, and I sound like a total nerd.
Oh, you should play
still?
It.
I got to find it. I got
to
find it,
oh,
yes.
Oh, man.
It's on CD, but yeah, I got
to
so find it.
So you can play what we're talking about.
Yes. Here's the cherry on top. Rick Dees goes, okay, so before we go, I just want to let you know, we're giving you 4 Wango Tango tickets at the
Are
Rose Bowl.
Are you serious?
And they gave me Wango Tango tickets on the radio, live.
So cool.
Best morning of my life.
Aw, he's a nice guy.
And I got walked out, and I'm like, Ruben, how do I intern here? This can't be the end. That was too good.
He got a taste and kept coming back. So
fell in love.
So producer Ruben, I'll let you take the story, but I'll leave you here.
No, you're doing good. Man. Keep going.
So I guess this is weeks later, now during the summer, right, before I start college. So this time I wake up even earlier, but I come by myself. I come by myself.
Is that the time where you were hiding in the bathroom?
To Kiss FM, yes, in Burbank. So I go from Rancho Cucamonga to Burbank, California in my Chevy Silverado, and I park right in the front. And I think it's at 7:05, 7:10 in the morning. The building is not even open to the public yet. So I'm sitting there, and I'm wearing a suit with a tie and a blue shirt. And I'm like, all right, I'm all decked out. I look professional. I think I brought my resume, which had nothing on it.
Rancho Cucamonga High School.
Yeah.
It downloaded.
And so I saw this woman walking in, like she was going towards the building. I'm like, you know what? I'm in a suit. What if I just walk behind her and act like, because I know what floor it's at. It's floor 8. I don't
this
have a
guy.
Key card. And guess what? I follow her inside. And we get
Do
to
you
the
remember who she was?
No, I didn't know who she was. She probably didn't even work for the station. It was a different floor. But I sneak in right behind her, and when she turns back to me, I'm like, oh, I forgot my key card. And she's like, no, don't worry about it. Come on in. I'm like, okay, good, thank you.
She's like, he's wearing a suit. Yeah. He must be somebody.
So she walks me in. We go to the elevator together, and because I don't have my key card, she goes, what floor are you going to? I'm like, 8, please. Bink, 8. Perfect. She's going to a higher floor. And so when the doors open up, I walk out to the lobby. The elevator's closed behind me. It's still dark in the lobby. There's nobody really inside, but you could smell the fresh scent of fresh brewing coffee and people's cologne and perfume. When you first walk into an office, you could smell that. And I'm like, shoot, I can't even go to the waiting room because the doors are locked. So I'm like, the only place I know of is the public restroom. So I go and I wait in the public restroom, and I'm just pacing back and forth, and I kid you not, for about 30 minutes.
Wait, describe what you're wearing.
Okay, I'm wearing a full suit, a black suit, a blue shirt, and a black tie. All ironed, crispy, ready to go.
And you're waiting in the bathroom.
And I'm waiting in the bathroom.
You can't make this
And then
up.
What happens? Did anybody come in?
Nobody came in, which was odd, but it was early in the morning too. So people must have just got there, haven't even got to work yet. So I decide, it finally comes to mind.
But you were wandering in the hallways because that's where I saw you.
No. So it comes to mind. I said, you know what? I can get in trouble. This could actually turn out to be bad for me. What? This is a stupid idea. What was I thinking? Too aggressive, Freddie. Too aggressive. So I decided, let me go back to my truck and wait till they actually open up to the public. So the moment I walk out of the restroom, mm-hmm. I'm walking back towards the elevators, and guess who I run into?
Who?
Producer Ruben Rodriguez.
And you're like, hey, remember me?
Do you remember that?
I said, hey, how's it going? But inside I was thinking, how did this guy get in here? Yeah.
And you were like, who let you in?
Yeah.
And Ruben was holding this big stack of newspapers. You were holding this big stack of newspapers and magazines. And I said, well, I'm here to apply for an internship. Do you remember that?
Yeah. And you go, we're not open yet.
He's like, we open in 2 hours.
moments after that, you let me in. You let me in to hang out. Why did you let me in?
You didn't seem dangerous.
Now that you know.
Or maybe I was behind something and I needed help. I don't know.
You did. So.
I think I gave you something to do, huh?
I remember now. Ruby goes, here, hold these stack of newspapers.
Here, let's start today.
And I'm like, okay, great.
Read through it. Find something interesting.
So he takes me to the back where the studios are. He sits me in which was Jerry's little room, right? The engineering room. Mm-hmm. You know, where all the computers and the rack room, you know, and all
inside
that stuff.
Same as inside of a UFO.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there and he goes, okay, I want you to, you know, look for these, you know, air checks and listen for this. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what happened, but you went to go discuss me to Chris.
Bridget
and Martine, right?
And Paul.
What happened? What happened in that moment? What did you guys talk about? How did you even bring me up?
I think you came at the right time because we were looking for a new intern. Mm-hmm. So it was like perfect timing. That chance you took of sneaking in paid off. So, and you said you were almost going to go back. So that would have been a big mistake.
I know. So what did Chris, Bridget, and Martine say? Like who this kid was, or what did they say?
Probably figured, oh, Ruben found this guy. Ruben, because they left it for me to find somebody.
Okay.
Oh, so it was up to you.
Yeah.
So I was your guy.
Yeah.
I was your pick.
Well, he figured since you spent the night there.
I was trying you. Maybe I told you, really. But no, I don't think I tell anybody you're the one, you're the pick. Maybe I said something like, we can try you out for a couple of days because we have other people, which we didn't. But I just didn't want to bring your hopes up.
It was in the middle of summer too, though, right? Yeah. And then that was my first day. It was 10 o'clock when we were all done. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what a morning I just had. And keep in mind, I'm a kid who just barely graduated high school, okay? I mean,
can't wipe the smile from his face all day, I bet.
I had a 2.0 GPA graduating from high school, okay? All right, I did not expect to have this kind of gig. Ruben comes back and he says, cool, you're part of the team. Can you come Mondays and Fridays? You got to be here at 5:45 and we'll do whatever. And I said, yeah. And he's like, okay, cool. You know, we're going to get coffee. We're going to get breakfast for the guys. And then you're also going to do the air checks, you know, listen out for air checks. And I said, oh, my God, yes, I'll do it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how you and I got started, right?
Yep.
What did I leave out? Because I've been talking a lot this whole time. From your point of view, what was it like?
You left out the whining part where you got tired of the air checks.
That was later on. That was later on. That was probably 4 months.
Not to throw that in there, but yeah, it was working out pretty good. You got all excited when celebrities came in. So did I. I mean, it never went away.
Ruben acted like my friend. He wasn't like a boss to me. Like, Ruben would, like, we would go get breakfast together. We became pals, like, right away.
Oh, that's nice.
And that's what was cool about it, is the fact that Ruben actually treated me like one of them instead of just, oh, come on, right, go get the coffee, kid. You know, I was never treated that way.
Go fetch that.
What a gig. What a gig. And I go back and I tell my mom and everybody, guess what?
That's so cool.
And it was the best thing ever.
When you were telling that story, it was reminding me of me, how I got in, because I got in the similar way.
You got in very similar, right?
Yeah.
So let's go back to how did producer Ruben begin at KISS?
Okay, I was on my way to work. I was working at this electronics firm, and I heard KISS FM on the radio broadcasting live at the record company, and I always wanted a job at the record company. It was Capitol Records.
Ooh.
And I go, oh man, what should I do? Should I go to work? Should I call in sick? Should I go to KISS FM to the mobile? I'm like, oh, I'm almost at work. What should I do? So I decided to call in sick.
Good idea.
That's the only way.
I'm going to this
That's
remote.
The only way, huh?
I'm gonna try to make some contacts at Capitol Records. So I get there and they say the remote is on top of the roof. I go, what? On top of the roof of Capitol Records? Okay, I'll still go. Yeah. So I went to the top of the roof, and there they were. KISS FM, LNK, Chuy from La Puente, Rick Dees, Paul Joseph, the whole gang. And I was like, wow. It's the same feeling as you. I was like, wow, this is it. But I wasn't really interested in the radio. I was like, interested in getting the job at the record company.
Oh, okay, okay. You were there for
Capitol
Records.
Because I had a friend, yeah, his name's Dwayne Turner. He was a singer-songwriter, and I was trying to, like, get him into business. So I figured I have to make contacts. I got to network. I got to talk. Yeah. Even though I was kind of shy and quiet, I have to force myself to talk to somebody.
Because it's a great opportunity.
Yeah, because the people who are here, I feel, are the ones I need to talk to. So I see this real elegant lady wearing this real elegant, like, Chanel-style dress. And I go, wow, I don't know who that lady is, but I feel she's the one I need to talk to. So I go up, you know, I'm, like, using all my might to go up to this very, you know,
way above you at the moment.
Way above me. Type of lady. Yeah. And it's like, wow. So I go, so what exactly is going on here? And then she was real nice. She says, oh, we're broadcasting live. We're promoting this. We're promoting that. And, you know, and just enjoy, basically. She kept it real short. And I was like, okay, well, so much for that.
You're like, she obviously
that was quick. Yeah. Hey, get away, kid. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, so there's your answer. No, she was real nice. She was real professional. I just felt lucky just speaking with her. Mm. But anyway, the show was over. Everybody was packing up. I was a little disappointed because I felt I didn't really make any contacts with
anybody. Yeah, the time went by and you were just
like, oh, man, everybody's leaving. So, wow. And there was this one guy left. His name was Chet. Mm. Chet Herring. He was like lifting boxes and putting away everything. So I figured,
it's like the one animal left, you know, that the lions to bring.
Exactly. So I asked him, hey, do you need any help? You know, since I'm here, you know, I might as well help you. I already called in sick from work.
You said that?
Yeah. So he said, yeah, grab that box. And that's how it started.
Perfect.
And then you guys started talking?
Then we're you know, we're loading up in the van, right? I loaded up the last box, and do you need help unloading? He goes, yeah, hop on in. So I hop in the KISS FM mobile home. It's a huge, like, studio on wheels.
Yeah.
Very futuristic looking. And I was like, wow, this is really cool. I can't believe I'm inside the KISS FM van, like, mobile home. And then I asked him, do you know if they're hiring at KISS FM or interning, anything? He goes, yeah, I can introduce you to a lady called Karen Tobin. Maybe she can help you. So, okay, cool. So after we go in the studio, I help him unpack, and he introduced me. He takes me up the eighth floor to the promotions department and to speak to the marketing director, the boss, the big boss. And it happens to be the lady I was speaking at the remote.
Did she remember you?
Karen Tobin. Yeah.
Did she remember
me? He goes, I remember you. You were asking me all these questions. I go, yeah, yeah. And I was just wondering. I spoke with Chad. You know, I was helping him. And then I asked if you guys were interning or need any interns. And he goes, right away, she said, sure, can you start Tuesday? Oh. I mean, simple as that. It was like, I was shocked that it was that quick. And of course,
you're like, yeah.
I, you know, I had a full-time job, but I still said yes.
You're like, I don't care what arrangements I have to make. I'll be there.
I'll figure out my job later. So I took the job.
With your other job, did you quit?
No, I just told him I need to work part-time.
Oh, perfect. So you had the best of both worlds. Then. Yeah, so you're still making money.
She told me, come in Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you'll work 4 hours a day in the promotions department.
Cool.
So that's how it started.
And that's when you started working for D's and Ellen. And
And thanks to my mom for helping me out financially, because there was no way. Because it was free. Interning, you know, you don't get paid. Yeah. So it was like,
You know what? That could be more true, because honestly, we have to thank our moms and our dads, because I couldn't do it if I didn't have a free place to stay. Because every time I went to the building, like you, Ruben, we did it for absolutely nothing, for free.
Right.
So to say that we did it all ourselves is a fallacy. You know, it's of course all the help that we got from our
parents. Yeah.
Our parents. But what an experience, though.
That was cool.
And I tell everybody this. In any industry, whatever industry you're going to, you have to be willing to work for free. You have to be willing to work for
free. You have to work in for free to get your foot in the door. If you tell them, I'll work for free, I'll intern, a lot of bosses will say, oh, of course.
Right.
Yeah. Because benefit.
Sometimes the hardest thing about a career is getting your foot in the door.
Yeah.
Because once you got your foot in the door, then it's a domino effect that takes place over, you know, maybe a long period of time or maybe not. But the hardest part is getting your foot in the door. The second hardest part is keeping your job.
Oh, yeah. It's called politics.
Oh, wow. I honestly knew maybe half of what producer Ruben's story, but I didn't know in detail till today. I didn't know it was on the top of Capitol Records.
That's yeah. So
and then
cool.
The way I got on the D staff, the morning team show.
Because you were just interning.
I was just on the Kiss FM side. And then, you know, Rick Dees had his own site.
Like, by the way,
his
own employees. Didn't you crash one of the vehicles?
Yes. Oh my God. That's another story. I crashed a company car.
Oh,
but it wasn't my fault.
Okay, no. Tell us about the story.
What happened was.
Okay, well, Rick asked me to go get something real quick for him at the market. You know, during the show, I go, sure, I'll go get it for you.
Yeah.
And he said, use my car. So he gave me his keys to his brand new Jaguar. Brand new Jaguar. And then I'm at the market, which is just like two blocks down, and I'm parking, and this guy backs up right where I was. And you know, this Jaguar, it doesn't have a normal horn. It has a little button on the side. I couldn't find the horn when I needed it. So I'm like hitting the steering wheel as hard as I can. Like, what the heck? Freaking horn's not working. This guy's going to hit me.
He's pounding on it.
Oh, my God.
Shoot.
He didn't see
And then
you?
I'm like, oh, shoot, he's going to hit me. And I'm still trying to look for this horn. And then he hit me. Oh, my God. He hit the front end of the car. I mean, it wasn't major. It was just the front fender, but still, it was my boss's car. I just started my first
week.
You're
fired.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm going to be fired for this.
And to this very day, Ruben now knows where every button is in a Jaguar.
Now I know where the horn is in the Jaguar.
The little button on the side.
The little button on the side.
That's so weird, though. Who would have ever known if you've never driven a Jaguar?
I would have never known that.
That's the only car, I mean, that has a button, you know, the horn right on the side.
So you get into an accident, and then what do you do after that?
The guy tried to say it was my fault. Oh, hell no. You're not going to say this is my fault. No way. You're the one that was supposed to look behind your
window.
Yeah,
they're backing up.
Yeah, for backing up. So, yeah, he finally admitted, and his insurance paid. And they didn't tell Rick till he went to his, you know, of course, when there's been bad news, you don't tell him.
So who did you tell?
The show,
who was the first person you told?
The secretary.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I go, oh, guess what? I got bad news. And what? I was in an accident with Rick's car. What? And she said, don't tell Rick. Don't tell him, Rick. And let me be the one to tell him. And she didn't tell him till he got on his airplane. He was going, like, I think New York or somewhere.
Oh, my God.
And
he's
right when he got on
the
airplane. Oh, by the way, Ruben, you know, had a little fender bender with your car. But don't worry. It's very minor. We'll have it fixed by the time you get back.
Wow.
And that's it.
Do you know what his response was?
The hell with that guy.
There was probably a response, but I'm sure they didn't tell me.
They didn't want you to
By the time
bad.
He got back, it was all blown
yeah,
over anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, he still trusted me with his car. So it is, you know, especially when he knew. I guess he asked whose fault was it and how did it happen and stuff like that. So.
Okay, so let's go back to how you transferred from the KISS side to the D side.
I was at the right place at the right time.
Again?
I was working for the kids' side, and then, you know, we have like a little lunchroom. So it was my lunch break. I took my lunch in there.
I can just imagine Ruben with his.
Yeah.
Eating lunch right there, just chilling, hanging out.
My cup of noodles. And quick lunch. So somebody on the D staff was arguing with the manager. They were having a fight in my presence. And he was complaining that he didn't want to do this anymore. He didn't want to do that anymore. And go, I don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do that. So they really got into like, who's going to do it? Well, it's not me. You're going to have to find somebody else. And I'm sorry, I can't do it anymore. So he left. Oops, I shouldn't give any clues who it is. That's half a clue right there.
the wheels are turning right now. Yeah. Like, ooh.
Okay, but yeah, I don't want to say who, but he didn't want to do it anymore. And then she's like, got this look like, what am I going to do now? We need, things need to be done. And then she looked at me and says, hey, do you want to work for us? Or are you available to do this or that? And I, yes, of course.
Keep this food away.
Yeah, I'm already off.
As a matter of fact.
That's how I got on the D side.
That's
on the payroll.
It is awesome. Like, it was fate, like, yeah. Right? Like,
yeah.
Meant for you.
You know, I took my lunch. They were arguing. He quit, and I got hired, and it's like, wow. And then from there, I got a gig doing the producer, the associate producer job. Mm. And some of my responsibilities were, like, getting some of the prep ready for Paul, getting some prep for Rick and the other associate producers on the team, getting, you know, all the materials that they need. And also meeting with the celebrities. When they come in, I had to go get them, bring them, or sneak them in.
That's always cool.
And there's a lot of stories. Yeah. I mean, there was one time where we had to, like, sneak in Tom Cruise to the freight elevator. So funny.
The reason why is because, like, sometimes
people
the
wait
fans
outside,
will,
yeah.
will wait outside.
Yeah,
somehow, wait outside. Somehow they get the news. Half the time, we'll get the celebrities from the freight elevator.
Yeah, and they get in real easy that way. That's it. And then Freddie comes along.
That's an awesome story, though. And you know, in all the years I've known Freddie, I've never heard that story.
Really?
Never.
Never heard the story.
Never.
I've never experienced that kind of energy in an office that early in the morning before, but it's just fast paced. You know, this person, that person, everybody has to be sharp. Celebrity here. It's the setting of that is just indescribable because it's the energy, it's the aura, and it's so high.
And it went by so quick.
The mornings would fly by because you were so busy and everybody was so fast-paced. And
I don't remember taking breaks because it was so busy. It was just like nonstop.
So you know what we would do is they would send me and producer Ruben down and go get food for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. So we'd go to the cafeteria. But during that time, we would eat and get our coffee and breakfast going so we wouldn't have to waste any time doing it later on a break.
Yeah.
So we would do it, you know, right there in fact, real quick. Ruben showed me the ways. He showed me, you know, how to do this and how to do that, what not to do.
You got
to
eat on the run.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't sit there and eat. You got to eat it while you're working.
But we had a lot of cool events, too, that were even outside of the KISS studios, like being example is going to the D's home, Rick D's actual home.
Oh.
Rick D's was not, he gave us the opportunity, because I was hungry for anything, mm-hmm. To put up Christmas lights in his house.
What?
He used to live in Toluca Lake. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he still does, but this was a very busy street with a lot of big homes and mansions. And I guess during Halloween.
I feel like the neighbors are competing against each other. Like, okay, here's my show.
Right.
It's kind of like that over here, too.
Yeah. And during Halloween, too.
And all these parents would drop their kids off on this particular street in Toluca Lake, and they would just get all the greatest candy. And what Rick Dees would do is he would make candy apple homemade because he loved to bake homemade candy apples.
Oh yeah, that's
and
right.
And he put them in a plastic wrapper, real fancy and home. It was beautiful. And he hired me and Rick. I mean, me and Ruben. And by the way, he paid me a crisp $100 bill, which is the coolest thing ever. I mean, I am passing out candy apples from my hero's own front lawn.
What a good
Halloween gig!
What a good gig!
You can't beat that.
We should post the pictures up.
You have pictures?
We gotta find them though. That's the thing.
How many celebrities with that kind of gig?
Okay, you talked about Paul McCartney last week. Can you tell us the Ricky Martin story before we end the podcast?
Oh, the Ricky Martin story. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, my.
Michelle, you have to hear the story.
I'm ready.
All right. Well, Ricky Martin comes to the studio. They tell us, get ready, get prep, get this, get that. He's going to come in. So, and a bunch of people, I don't know how these people find out. Because we're trying to, like, be secret. Like, you know, don't tell nobody. No, I'm not telling anybody, except for one friend. But I don't know.
The one special friend.
No, no. But yeah, there was a lot of fans. We were like, where'd they come from? How did they know he was coming in? But it turns out as soon as Rick teases it on the air, I mean, they're here in a second. I mean, I guess these are the fans that are living close or something. Mm. Or just come every day to see who comes in, who happens to come in. But anyway, all these girls were downstairs. And the security guard calls us up. Hey, you have all these girls, you know, just so they won't be up there. I brought them up to the lobby.
Okay.
And then one of the girls says, hey, is it okay if we meet Ricky Martin? We'll promise to behave. And I go, I don't know about that. You know, I kind of find it hard to believe because they were all like really teenagers, you know, screaming, excited, just the fact that he was coming in. So I wasn't sure if they were going to be able to control themselves if Ricky Martin came inside. I'll ask his manager to see if Ricky Martin can come to the lobby and visit you guys.
Which is super nice, by the way, because nobody would ever do that.
Never.
Yeah, they requested it, and I'll see what I can do, but I can't guarantee it. So I ask, and then the manager says, I don't know, ask Rick, ask him. So I went to ask Ricky Martin, hey, Rick, you got all these fans in the lobby. Do you want to say hi to them, or you just want to go straight to the studio? He goes, no, I'll meet them. Sure.
Oh, that's nice.
So these girls have flowers and, you know, all these gifts ready to give to him.
Yeah.
And then I went back to the lobby and I said, okay, Ricky Martin agreed to meet you guys. And they started screaming, yeah. But you guys got to promise me you guys are going to behave. Please don't do anything crazy because, you know, it won't look good. Promise me you guys are going to behave and, you know, you won't do nothing crazy. Oh, we promise. Oh, yeah. They were all agreeing and this and that. So Ricky Martin is on his way. They can see him walking in the hallway because on the door there's a little glass window and they're all like, he's coming. And they're getting their roses ready to give to him. And then Ricky Martin opens the door. And I don't know. I already met him earlier, but I still saw this glow on him when I saw Ricky Martin walk in the door. This one girl steps up to Ricky. Hey, Ricky, this is for you. It was a single red rose. And everybody's like, oh, how sweet. Yeah. And Ricky reaches out to grab the rose. And all of a sudden, this girl just leeches on him like a monkey.
She jumped
in the air
and grabbed,
and grabbed Ricky Martin and hugged him and wouldn't let go.
And everybody goes crazy.
And then the securities came in. They pried the girl off because she would not let go.
Wow.
And he's I'm thinking, oh my God, I told these girls not to do that. And I'm thinking I'm in trouble for letting this happen.
You ruined it for me.
Yeah. And then they rushed them back into the studio. And then the other girls were getting mad at this one girl, like, you messed it up for all of us. And later, I got to go. I'm thinking that.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, we're not walking you back to the car, girl.
So I don't know what happened to that girl after I left. So they were mad at that girl.
But I'll tell you what, though, that one girl will remember that for the rest of her life.
Yeah.
The fact that she jumped on Ricky Martin. She probably still remembers what he smelled like.
But the other, she probably messed up the rose. Yeah. She crushed it.
Who cares about the rose? Yeah.
I may or may not have sort of made a celebrity uncomfortable that way.
Did you really? I can't imagine you, Michelle, doing that.
I didn't jump on him.
Give us the story. We have to hear this.
Okay. I went to Cal State Fullerton.
Okay.
And I used to like to go to their baseball games, basketball games. They had a phenomenal baseball team. MTV's Rock and Jock Base Brawl.
Oh my God.
Used to film
I
there.
Remember that. That is so old.
Don't date me now, but yes, you're right. So they came and did a celebrity baseball game called Base Brawl, whatever. Mila Kunis was there.
Oh, no kidding. That's huge.
Simon Rex. Method Man, Red Man.
Okay. Method Man were part of every MTV thing at the time.
Right.
Yeah.
And I wish I could remember all of them that were there. We were in the front row. So we were like, awesome, like yelling to them and stuff. So I've always been a fan of Method Man and Red Man. I always have been a fan. So I'm like, oh, Red Man's kind of cute in person. Like, of course, I was like, oh. So he like catches a ball, like he's an outfielder or something, catches this ball that's flying over near me. I came to bring the pain. Yeah. I lean over and I said, hey. And he's like, hey. And I said, can I have a hug? And he's like, okay. Like, kind of like, sure, whatever.
This is Method Man or Red Man?
This is Red Man.
Okay.
You didn't jump on him, did you?
So I lean over. I think worse.
Worse? Oh, no. We got to hear this.
I lean over, and he opens his arms, right? And I hug him like this, and then I go like this.
You kissed him!
This time?
Planted a huge kiss!
And what did he do?
Well, he pulled back, kind of like, what the heck? Like, because he thought he was going to hug me. I thought, like, people were going to kick me out the game and all, you know, but they didn't. I just, because I think they probably knew I asked for a hug, and he willingly came up. So I think they thought it was like a planned thing or whatever. But then, like, I turned around and was like, I grabbed his face to kiss him. Wow, like, brave. I went in for the hug and I was like, mwah!
You tricked
so,
him.
So I don't think it was like on his mouth, but because he had his, you know, when you hug someone, your face is not. But I pulled his face towards me.
And he pushed you
off. And then he's like, whoa.
How old were you at the time?
I was in college. I had to be 19, 20. I don't know, something like that. It was so fun, though.
We didn't know Michelle Zuna was a grappler.
I'm crazy. You guys knew I was crazy.
Ruben, give us a tease on what celebrity encounter for next week.
The Mana story.
Oh, that's right. We started talking about Mana. So here's what producer, in case you missed it, let me do a little quick recap. Producer Ruben took his girlfriend at the time, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm just his girlfriend at the time.
A girl I was dating.
A girl he was dating. He was trying to date. Trying to log it in. takes her to a Mana concert.
Oh,
and
cool.
You know that this date has to be up on his list because he's taking her to see Mana.
Yeah.
This ain't, you know, a trip to, you know, let's go get some pizza.
Yeah.
You know? So they go to the studio to meet Mana. Moments later, Ruben turns his back. One of the band members is trading phone numbers with her.
And Ruben got left in the dust?
Yeah.
Dang. What a bird.
I want to hear the details
of the story.
The story
gets better. We'll do that on our next show.
Oh, was it the lead singer?
No, it was not the lead singer.
It has to be the drummer then. This is for Ruben's date, who shall remain nameless.
You know who you are.
But there's more to the story, you said, right?
Yeah. It'd be funny if she was listening. I didn't know, Ruben. Oh, yeah, right.
Right.
So we'll find out on next week's podcast with producer Ruben. Always the most interesting stories. I feel like, you know, the show was going to, you know, be about our starting radio. But every time you talk about a celebrity, it's kind of captivating. I'm not going to lie. All right. So that's it. That's the podcast. First of all, I want to thank you for listening because I think, to be honest, if you are trying to do a podcast, I'll tell you right now, if you're trying to do a podcast, the hardest thing about doing your own podcast is starting the podcast.
Yeah.
That is the hardest part. It's not about the equipment, it's about the content. And starting the podcast is the hardest thing. And let me tell you firsthand, because I've been talking with producer Ruben and Michelle Zuno, and I've known both of them for such a long time, and we're trying to get together and come up with what's a podcast. And me and producer Ruben came from radio, yet when it comes to the podcast, me and him see things so differently, and it's hard to find common ground. And Michelle Zuno comes out of nowhere and sounds freaking phenomenal on this other show that we're working on, which you'll find out soon enough. But it's a strange world. Anyway, just my piece of advice. My name is Freddie Rivera with producer Ruben, Michelle Zuno. Michelle, where can we find you on Insta?
Official Michelle Zuno.
Hold on. Can we drum roll this?
Ready, go. Official Michelle Zuno on Instagram.
I like it.
I'm trying to get to the big bad 1,000 followers. You know what I'm saying?
She needs when she starts running for office and everything else.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna do big things someday. I promise.
And then, of course, you can find me at Freddie Rivera. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.